how sports can destroy your life. This is the Athletic Scholarship Podcast, episode number 94. And a good day to you. I'm John Fugler. Welcome to the Athletic Scholarship Podcast. And I tell you, what a title for a show, for an episode, right? How sports can destroy your life. And this is supposed to be the Athletic Scholarship Podcast. Okay, I'll tell you more about that in a minute. And I'm John Fugler, your athletic scholarship coach, a dad of two scholarship athletes, and I'm also the CEO of RecruitMe, as well as a podcaster, author, and speaker. Have you gotten a hold of my book, The Athletic Scholarship Playbook, a complete college recruiting roadmap for high school athletes and parents? It's available on Amazon, and it's a great place to start. And also, if you've been going for a while in this recruiting thing, it's a great place to look to really hone in your recruiting game. This podcast is 15 minutes that will change your scholarship future. So I dig in and give you takeaways you can use immediately. And I have an interview this time around. So stay with me. I think I'm going about maybe 3, maybe 4 minutes over 15 minutes, but the content is excellent. The person I am talking with is Shannon Carlisle. Now, Shannon is a former D1 scholarship athlete. She poured her heart and soul into her sport, which is basketball. But when she was done, there was a problem. The problem was she had poured her heart and soul into her sport, and she wasn't prepared for it. What was coming next after she completed her sports career? And she's going to share some things with us that will help you so that as you, as a parent, as you, as an athlete, as a family, you go into this and you're just dedicating yourselves to getting that scholarship, dedicating yourself to your sport. Well, there can be dangers to that because your identity could be tied to your performance and tied to your sport. And yes, your life could be hurt badly by your sport. The very thing that you love to do, that very thing could be a detriment and hurt you. Well, you're going to find out more about that and some of Shannon's experience, and also she's helped other athletes, and we'll tell you more about that and tell you a little bit more about what she's doing and how you can get a hold of her. I want to make sure that you got a hold of the Recruiting Power Pack. It's the free offer on the homepage of my website at recruit-me.com. This is a great tool, absolutely free. You've got three items in there. One is a template for your player profile, the most important document you'll put together. So grab that. It's a fillable form. Got a couple other things in there. A lot of people asking me about video. Well, I've got an audio piece for you, an MP3 that talks to you about video and the keys to producing and distributing an excellent video that coaches will watch. So that's part of it as well. And then the third thing is a PDF entitled The First Steps to an Athletic Scholarship. It's all part of the Recruiting Power Pack, and you can get it free at recruit-me.com. So I'd like you to go ahead and get that. Well, let's get into it with Shannon Carlisle. Shannon, thank you for joining us on the Athletic Scholarship Podcast. It's always great to have a former athlete, scholarship athlete with us. So thanks for taking the time.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be on. So looking forward to it, and thanks for having me on.
Hey, I got to ask you this question just to put you on the spot. When you think back on your athletic career in college, what sticks out as the most satisfying thing? What would be the highlight of competing as a college athlete?
You know, the thing that sticks out to me the most, you know, I would used to say it was the awards and the points that I scored, but I think that it was the community that it allowed me to build, whether it was the boosters or it was people that I just met along the way. But I think being an athlete opened me up to a lot of people that I might not have normally been able to have access to.
Okay. And I really love the fact that you're helping athletes now and thinking beyond the sports part of it, beyond the competition, but really having a bigger picture view of it. Just a little bit of history on your part. You played basketball, right?
Yes, I played basketball for Howard University, yep. HU.
Yeah, I say you're still a fan, huh? You probably you get out at any of the games still?
Well, not that much anymore since I moved away. I moved to Nashville, Tennessee a couple of years ago and hadn't really been back since then. So not really. I still check up on them every now and again, though.
Okay. And what year did you graduate?
I graduated in 2007.
Okay. Now, tell me, your recruiting experience, if you think back on your high school years, what was it like for you? How did you, would you say you went about it the way that you would advise other athletes to do that? But what was your personal experience?
You know, I would say I did not go about it in a way that I would suggest any athlete go about it, especially not now with all of the resources and tools and information that's out there. Like when I was coming up, I played AAU, of course, because that was what people told me as far as exposure and all of that stuff. But at the time, I didn't know that you personally had to do a lot of legwork, too. And, you know, my mom didn't know anything about recruiting and stuff. She was just making sure I had my gear and was on teams. And I thought, we both thought that your high school coach was somebody that was going to call around for you and kind of shop around, or even your AAU coach. And that's not what ended up happening. It was actually another coach on the men's side that gave the Howard coach that I ended up going to the call when I made the top 40 workout. And then it was only after that workout that I started getting calls and letters and made the all-star team and all of these things. But prior to that, I hadn't done any marketing, I guess you would say, of myself. I didn't have any tape, any film, nothing.
Wow. Wow.
So
you were pretty fortunate to get a scholarship. You had somebody to come alongside and kind of do the marketing for you. That was probably a big, big thing.
No, that was a huge thing. And I honestly don't know, had I not made that top 40 workout and the all-star team, I would have gotten a scholarship, but it wouldn't have been to where I ended up going. Hmm. I did have some offers from like JUCO and a couple of D2 schools, which in retrospect probably wouldn't have been a bad go either. But I'm sure you talk about all of those different levels
sure.
on the show as well.
Yeah. And, you know, you want to go to the place that's the best fit. It sounds like that's where you ended up, that this was a school that you felt good about going to. And that's a big part of it. I mean, it's not just getting the scholarship, because there's more to it than sports, but it's going to a place that is an overall good fit. Would you say that was true for you?
No, I absolutely think that was true, because some of the other places I went, when I went on that official visit, it was like, I just didn't feel it. And you know how sometimes you have a gut feeling about something and you know that that's not the place for you, or you didn't see opportunity there for you, whether it was playing time or whether it was culturally beneficial for you. So after going to Howard, I definitely knew that that was the place to be.
Great.
And I took into consideration the other places, but there was definitely a feeling involved.
Now, you host the Path to Purpose podcast, and that is a podcast which is for athletes, but it's coming from a different perspective, which you can have a mission in life right now. You're a teacher. But you do this other thing on the side for college athletes. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay, the Path to Purpose came along because I saw so many athletes at the time I was seeing athletes in the news, and they were going through, like, you know, hard times and like depression, mental illness and things like that, that wasn't being talked about or wasn't being presented in a light. And then you also have like the 30 for 30 athletes going broke, like all of these things that what I saw, it didn't seem like it stemmed from them, like them as a person or them as their character. It was a lack of identity and a lack of purpose after the sport is over.
So you're saying that they're so tied to their sport and their performance. When that's done, there's an aimlessness, a lack of purpose?
Yeah, there's a lack of purpose. There's a lack of direction. There's a lack of themselves feeling the value if there's not an audience, or there's not a scoreboard, or there's not somebody giving them that external validation. And that, and of course, this is a generality, so it's not everyone, but a lot of times you hear athletes say things like, oh, I was lost. I didn't know what to do. I just did that because I saw somebody else do it, without knowing what they intrinsically wanted out of life once they weren't bouncing the ball around anymore.
You know, I've done just short of 100 podcast episodes now and have never, ever really talked about this subject. And I have to say, even in me personally, I help families find the school that's the right fit, but I don't really talk to them about what about afterwards. And what about afterwards means you have to prepare beforehand. I mean, what kind of advice could you give athletes now so they don't run into those problems of lack of purpose afterwards and where to fit in?
Well, I think one of the things that I really harp on, or I have been harping over the past couple of years, is really getting to know yourself and like self-mastery, because there's too many people out here that are getting master's degrees and going into like volunteer work and doing all of these things outside of their sport that gives them the joy and the life that they want to have, but they're still able to compete at a high level at their sport. Let me give you an example. Damian Lillard, right? Portland.
Mm-hmm.
He is an entertainer, a musician. And that is his first love, basketball. He just happened to naturally be gifted to play the game. And of course, he worked hard and all of that stuff, too. But outside of his working out and his practices, he still gets into the studio. He still networks and builds relationships with people in the entertainment industry, because that's what he wants to do afterwards. So my advice that I would give them is get outside of the sports bubble if you want to do something outside of sports, but also know that there are other options for you and that you are a multidimensional purpose. And sports as a player is only the beginning of your story.
Yeah, I know. As I was growing up, I was defined a lot by how I did. I was a pitcher. So when I did well, I felt good about myself. When I did poorly, I felt poorly about myself as a person. I mean, the way I performed was tied into so much of who I was as a person. And I sometimes continue to do that, not in pitching anymore, but my performance in life. And we are valuable beyond how we perform. And so as you talk with athletes, how do you make that transition for them? What are the steps that you would suggest? I mean, we're talking to athletes that are in high school, they're going into college, and maybe they aren't seeing the big picture yet. But speak to the parents, speak to the athletes as they work through this with their kids.
Right. And that's a good point that you just made about them not seeing the big picture. Because, I mean, these are youth. They're, 17, 18 years old? They're not really thinking about all of that. Even though they do have to pick a major, sometimes they're picking it based on the ease of schedule and stuff like that. But the easiest thing that you can do is keep a journal. And I know that this is not like a sexy thing to keep a journal, but if you have a documented record of how you've been and how, like, the things that interest you, kind of just like chronicling your mental space as you go through your college experience. Record how you deal with disappointment. How do you deal with victory? How do you deal when something doesn't go your way? How do you deal with the criticism that you get from parents, from fans, from coaches? Like, all of those things will count later on. So you don't need to have something specific, but you just need to know who you are and how you operate and how you tick, so that once that time is over, you can go back to that and look and be like, okay, This is how I operate. How can I experience more of this positiveness and experience less of this negative aspect that I don't particularly care for?
Did you struggle with identity after your career? I mean, you're really invested in this and want to help other athletes. Is it something you went through yourself?
Absolutely. I went through it And I, to be honest, John, it was like a good 6 or 7 years because I played basketball since I was 8 years old. And after I graduated from college, I had some opportunities to go overseas, but I didn't make it because of injuries and certain things. And it was like, I have been doing this one thing for a long time. I didn't know what I was good at. I didn't know if I could learn another skill. And then there was this imposter syndrome, like, oh my God, people have been doing something that I wanted to do for such a long time. Why would anybody listen to me? Why would anybody want to hear me do this or see me do this? Because I was involved in the arts throughout high school a little bit. But once I got tunnel vision on basketball, I kind of just let that go to the side. But it was definitely an identity crisis and just getting over the fact that, okay, I'm starting here now. I can learn. It is possible for me to learn. And I just have to get over the fact that everybody starts from somewhere and I need to move on to the next phase of my life. It's getting out of that mindset that pushed me forward.
Well, you've got a master's in educational technology. That's pretty far from basketball. So there must have been some point where you said, I am turning the corner now. Tell us how that all fit together.
I became a teacher. And there was an aspect about education that I really enjoyed. I liked being able to pull things out of people that they would normally not see in themselves or allow them to see a bigger vision of themselves. And I like technology. Ever since I was younger, me and my brother would do things with our dad and like put little electronic things together. And just overall technology has been something that interests me. And so combining the two just seems appropriate. And I also like to learn. I like to read. I like a challenge. And I guess that's the athlete in me liking the challenge part. But it was hard. And being able to get that master's and go through the coursework in the way that I did allowed me to scratch that challenge itch. But I love education. I will say I don't particularly care for the school system all that much. Don't tell my boss.
don't share this episode with him.
Right. Okay. Don't tell my boss. But I do love getting someone from not knowing to knowing more and then being able to allow them to learn more on their own and just keep exploring. Hmm.
And, you know, your experience in athletics and basketball, you know, that determination, the scratching that itch to succeed and having that challenge, that transferred over into this pursuit, too, in teaching and getting your master's, I can tell.
Absolutely. When I'm committed to something and I'm into it, there's no limit to where I'll go. So I was that kid that I watched all the film. I was in the gym afterwards and I was in the, you know, up before the games, warming up before everybody else. So it was like when I get fixated on a topic or a situation or a person or it's something that I'm trying to learn more of, I'm going to go all in so that I can know, because I don't like to be a person that talks about stuff that I don't know.
Well, Shannon, you know a lot about this area of helping athletes really work past their identity in their sport and helping them succeed in life. Just one parting bit of advice for parents and athletes as we conclude here.
Yes. One of the things that I've learned over the past year, and this has helped me out tremendously, it wasn't belief or even after I realized what I wanted to do or how I wanted to help people that actually started moving the needle. It was when I started putting into place routines and habits that allowed me to do the things that were necessary each day. So when it comes to parents or when it comes to athletes, once you have an idea or a clearer picture of where you want to go, you have to put the habits and the routines in place so that you do it. Not unconsciously, but it's in a way that allows you to do it over a long period of time, because motivation only lasts but for so long. You go to a conference and it's over, but you need to do these same things every day until you get what you want.
Boy, it sounds so much like competing in athletics.
Doesn't it?
Oh, that's great. That's great. Hey, Shannon, thank you so much for joining us. I love this different kind of perspective, and I think it's going to be a real help to our families as they consider the future, not only the athletic future, but a life future for their kids.
Thank you so much, John. Thanks for having me on.
Well, that's a different type of episode, isn't it, than what we've had in the past? And hopefully you found that valuable in hearing from Shannon Carlisle. Now, her organization, as she mentioned, is called The Path to Purpose. I'll have a link to that in the show notes. If you want to go ahead and check that out and want to contact Shannon, The Path to Purpose, Shannon Carlisle, if you want to do a Google search on it or just click the link in the show notes. Yeah, we got to have perspective, don't we? As we do this scholarship thing, this recruiting thing, and we get so wrapped up in it. And parents, I know, because I was a parent going through this with my kids, and I do have some regrets in how much focus on sports there was. And I kind of lost my perspective at times. Hopefully you haven't lost your perspective. I really want you as a family to have fun in the recruiting process. I want your kid to have fun competing in his or her sport. That's what it's all about. There's life beyond sports. And we may know that intellectually, but do we know it in our heart? And I don't want to see your son or daughter be so wrapped up in an identity in his or her sport that they miss out on all of life and become a well-rounded person. So hopefully the interview with Shannon was a great help. That's it for this episode. As mentioned, we went over time. I wanted to give you as much meat as possible. And the content that you heard from Shannon, I think you probably did find valuable. I'll talk to you again next week.